Good evening and welcome to the episode of Hog Talk Podcast, live for the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us each week on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, alongside me as always, and Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by Bet Online.
Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup, breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. With the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, to political props. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline. The game starts here.
Well, Adam, we've made it past the regular season. We are in postseason play now. And the big news of the day was the unveiling of the final 12-team college football playoff, along with where Arkansas will be bowling. They will be going to the Liberty Bowl where they're playing Texas Tech. But there was a lot of buzz, a lot of controversy around the committee, the college football playoff. Did they get it right? Did they get it wrong? Was Bama justified in being voted out and opposed to SMU? Adam, I'll turn it over to you first of just your overall thoughts of the college football playoff. Do you think Bama should have got in? And what do you think about the format?
I like the format in the sense of the first round buys, 12 teams, all that. I do not like that the first top four ranked teams don't have a first round buy. I know they touched on that quite a bit. I think that that needs to be changed for next year. I just don't see, just because you want to conference championship, that you're in a better spot than a team that's better than you on paper and possibly on the field. So, you know, looking at it, I kind of chuckled a bit that Bama got left out, but it didn't surprise me for the simple fact of, I think, and this was just my gut feeling, I felt like they were trying to not put Bama in, you know, post Nick Saban. Post all, you know, it's just now there. It was almost like it was a point that, hey, we're not going to put Bama in. And that's just the vibe I got. I do think that they need to take a stronger look at strength of schedule and things of that nature whenever they're going around and seeding this.
Yeah, I agree. Let me begin with, you know, you asked me this question a week ago, but before. You know, when Clemson got beat by South Carolina, look, they're not a 12-team playoff. They're not deserving of a bid. Then Syracuse turns around and beats Miami, giving Clemson a shot in the ACC championship game. They had to beat 11-1 SMU to get in. They played their way in by this format with the expansion. And I've been back and forth with the SEC fans all day about this. The biggest thing that gets me is when they're talking about, well, we need to not schedule so many out-of-conference games. Bama's demise was an in-conference schedule, getting beat by Vandy, scoring 3 points against an opponent you were a 21-point favorite in. That's their fault. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, granted, is Clemson a top 12 team? No, they ranked 16th. But they, by the rules, by the committee's decision, if you win your conference championship, you get an automatic bid. It happens in basketball. Mm-hmm. If let's just say Auburn or Vanderbilt in basketball goes on a run and wins the SEC championship, you get an automatic bid. It's how it is. Now, I will say that Nick Saban did have a very good point when he was talking about how SMU was rated last week. If they would have rated them behind Bama and told them that you've got to play your way in, beat Clemson, and then you get a 12-team or whatnot, that's justified. But you can't sit there and how things, you see the format right here. Clemson was punished, and rightfully so. You got the 12 seed. And I think they got that right. You got to go through Texas. Mm-hmm. Then winner that gets Arizona State.
I mean, looking at this too, I feel like Penn State has probably one of the easier routes to get forward. You know, typically you'd look at what your overall one seed being, having the easiest path, you would think typically, and I don't think that's the case here. Yeah. But, you know, looking at it also, and I saw a lot of folks kind of talking about, like, Oregon got a raw end of the deal, though, with Tennessee and Ohio State. And I'm looking at it like, and Arkansas fans aren't going to like this. Tennessee lost to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State lost to a bad Michigan team. Both teams are beatable. So it's one of those things. I just look at it, though, like Penn State's probably got an easier route with SMU and Boise State.
Potentially. Because I'll say this, the way SMU looked against Clemson, how they came, I mean, look, everybody in the first quarter, I was tweeting right along. I was smiling. You know, Clemson's going to dog walk them. Everybody is like, oh, SMU just definitely doesn't deserve. Then they come back. And granted, it was on a kickoff return and then the long pass and then a 56-yard field goal.
By a freshman
to win the game. So, yes, I understand where they are with that, but you're still an 11-1 team, and you got within a field goal of winning the ACC. And that's where it goes in hand with what I was talking about is the Vandy game. You gave up 40 points to Vandy. It's not like this was a 17-15 or 17-14 game. Vandy won on a Hail Mary. I mean, they ran roughshod all over Alabama. And if we want to go back to last year, it took a miracle for Alabama to beat Auburn for them to get to the SEC championship game, then to get into the college football playoffs, the 14. So it's comical that the SEC and the Big Ten want to come together and get an automatic 4-team bid. You're talking about this. Well, these teams shouldn't just get handed bids to them. That's what they're wanting moving forward. That's why they're creating these 16 league conferences. So you get three teams in a 12-team playoff. It's the fact that when you look at these matchups, I love it for the fact that, look, Arizona State got rewarded. Boise State got – everybody got rewarded. Everybody outside the SEC is pissed off at this place – or not pissed off about this. The only ones that have a problem with this is the SEC teams. Because if you look up and down, you got Penn State, Indiana, Boise State, Arizona State – and at Tennessee, they're not usual suspects when it comes to this CFP format. And I love it. I think we're going to have some great games. And I really love the first round at the home deal. Because, and it's funny because it's weird looking at the bracket and the home team's on the bottom. That as crazy it is to critique anything, it's like you look at it, you think Clemson's got the first round matchup at home. But I love the matchups. I really think SMU, Penn State, Tennessee, Ohio State, complete honest, unless Ewers has a ball out game, that's going to be a close game. Texas has played no top 25 or no top 25 wins. Their both losses was against Georgia. So how do you, in the flaw, it was like every SEC excuse of why another team got in, they were flawed on their own margin of who did Texas really play? You got to escape through the SEC coming in your first year and not having to play anybody really but Georgia.
Does this set the standard for years to come that your third loss basically eliminates you if you don't win the conference? As in you're not, you know, you're a three-loss team and you didn't win a conference championship game. Are you out?
Yes, because if Clemson wouldn't have won the SEC championship, they'd be out. Even if they're 10-2 and you lose the conference championship game and you're 10-3 or whatever, you're not a top 12 team. They got in by a technicality in the seeding of being a conference champion, you know, and everybody, well, they got dog walked by Georgia. Yes, they did, but you're turning and you're going to replace them by a team that got dog walked by a 6-6 OU team. If it wasn't for Bama losing, Vandy and OU would not be bowl eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for people to think. It's hard for people to look at.
Well, and I think it too, like just going back to that question with the three loss thing, because, you know, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Alabama, I mean, they were all pleading their case, coaches, ADs, et cetera. Nick Saban even, you know, chiming in last night, today, several different times. So it just made me, you know, think about that on them pushing the envelope, because we all didn't know who obviously would get in and who out, what's going to truly eliminate people. So now after this year, I guess it would say your third loss, you're out. And then, you know, what do you think? I'll ask you this. What do you think about home field for the first games?
I love it, because here's the thing. When you get into this type of format, you're adding extra games and it's expensive. You know what I'm saying? So you're adding another round of travel for two teams. You put these things on home and home. I don't care if Clemson's going to Texas. I think it's going to be a great game. It adds to what college you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, the regional. You're putting a bunch of teams close to home, and then you throw in some other teams with that. But no, more than so, that number one seems close to home. Look at Arkansas getting to go to Dallas sometimes. You know, you're having all the – I think it's perfect. But also, it gives – it's funny, the cliche. It gives some of these Southern teams let's go to Notre Dame in December. Let's go to Ohio State in December. Mm-hmm. Look at Tennessee going to Ohio State. How is that going to play in? Look at SMU. They go to Penn State. And then you look at the Tennessee-Ohio State. You come through that game, and then you got to go to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to happen in the coming weeks, but it's – we wanted a 12-team playoff. I think everybody did. You can't – there's always truthfully so. I didn't think there would be this much gripe about it because they are going to the 12-team. I can see why there is, but I didn't think it would be this bad.
I mean, they're going to do obviously this. It's however we can get the most drama like we had back in the BCS days,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the 4-team playoff, it was kind of, it was pretty cut and dry. Yes. There was the folks outside of the SEC that would gripe when two SEC teams got in, but at the same time, you know, we feel like, you know, trying to create drama to the BCS level.
But think if they went to 4 teams this year, who would be those 4 teams?
You'd have Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State.
Yeah. And think about that. So you're going to give a seed, a 4-team to a team that has played no top 25 wins. And just because they're in the SEC, you know, when they got beat, it was by 15 to Georgia the first time, and then mm-hmm. won final score.
They lost by 3 last night.
Lost 3. You know, but where does that leave a 12-1 conference champ? You just look at, you know, Arizona State, Boise State, and you can even throw in, look at the Notre Dame. They don't play in a conference. So you're looking at this, and it makes – I'm glad they go to 12, but I guarantee you from – it might not happen next year. It might, but I guarantee you within the next 2 years, this is going to totally change and may even go to a 16-team field because of the fact that there's only 3 SEC teams – that got selected, they're going to move this either to a 16-team playoff where they don't get a bye, or they're going to change the format to where it's going to favor the SEC because that's where the money's at. I get it from a business standpoint. I totally get it.
Well, and that's one of those things. If they – I know this hasn't been talked about in quite a while, but the you know, if it ever comes to fruition that there's going to be – a 32-team league, essentially, in the future. I mean, you're just going to have a 32-team playoff, 16 games. Everybody's going to be in. Because, essentially, that's what you want, unless you just want to follow an NFL format with those 32 teams. And, you know, only half of them get in. But I don't think you're doing any favors there. But that's a matter of if that ever happens.
But I could see that if you had a 32-team league with a 16-team playoff, you'd play you would essentially could play less games during a regular season and then have your extended 16-team mm-hmm. playoff. I mean, I just really think the fact that you look at just the what-ifs of this season and how Syracuse beating Miami changed this whole dynamic of this college football playoff. Because then that allows Clemson to have a shot to play themselves in which then allows SMU to get in essentially, and Bama's the first team out. You know, that it's crazy, but it also why I don't want it to change, because exactly the point of regular game season games matter. It ain't the only qualifier, but that regular season game between Syracuse and Miami made it the chain reaction of what we're seeing. And then more teams like Arizona State have a chance to get in. Boise State has a chance to get in. Because, look, Boise State, Arizona State are no slouches. I would love to see, if I could have any way, you take Penn State out of there, I would love to see SMU and South Carolina go at it. Mm-hmm. Talk about how Sellers is playing right now and then what SMU showed me last night. I would love to see that matchup.
I think that would just my – it's hard to say. Like, right now, I would say that SMU would handily win just because – I feel like South Carolina's offense still has struggled at times. But, you know, going back to like what Coach Saban was saying about, do they need to add an additional SEC game to take away a non-conference? Cause he was talking about it again this morning, and kind of like to your point is you're just putting another obstacle in your way.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens.
Yeah.
You know, before it was, we're pushing to have 9 games, and then now, after seeing this today and then hearing some of the stuff, I'm just kind of like, you're going to hurt yourself more, because obviously if they're not taking into full consideration your strength of schedule, I think you're not going to have any of the other coaches going to bat for, we need 9 games.
Yeah, but from an outsider in, this is the way other conferences have been dealing with this 4-team playoff or the BCS days from the jump. That they don't get the benefit of the doubt because the SEC is so dominant. It is the team that all gets the benefit of the doubt. And because rightfully so, top to bottom, they are stacked. Mm-hmm. But I will say to counter that is, you know, the SEC asked OU Texas to come in. They wanted a 16 team. It ain't that like the NCAA made them come into the conference. And eventually there, you know, there's talks of wanting the SEC, Big Ten to come together, 32 team kind of deal, and join on their own. So if you're asking to make your conference stronger, don't then in return gripe about the outcome of what happened today. It's almost like that thing that you made the bed, now lay in it. Y'all wanted this. You wanted the expansion. You expected 4 teams. You got 3. But that's, maybe this is a learning curve for everything. I don't know. But this year, it works out decent for me. Do I think we're going to beat Texas? No, but I'm happy to that. The fact that I said last night, Brent Venables at OU and Clemson beating SMU in the same year, that Clemson connection kept Alabama out of the playoff, and I'm very happy with that.
Oh, last night I sent out a text. It was in the fourth quarter of the Clemson SMU game, and it was just a simple loser gets Chad Morris back. That's what you get for losing. Looking at this before I take it off screen, do you see any matchups? We'll go with the first round, and then obviously quarterfinals will be a guess because we don't know who's going to win the first round. Do you see any lopsided games in this?
The Clemson Texas game could get out of hand. I mean, because the running back is not healthy. Moffa's not healthy, but Texas is high powered, and we've seen how SMU came from behind, and you're going to Austin, and we've seen how Clemson struggles to play offense against the defense. You look at Georgia and Texas defense is very similar. I could see that being lopsided, but I can also see the SMU Penn State. I could see that game being lopsided in SMU's favor. I know a lot of people, but until Penn State can prove that they can play outside of Big Ten and score in the 30s, that it could. Mm-hmm. You know, but then again, you look at the Tennessee Ohio State game. If Tennessee comes out and plays like they did against Arkansas, that could be a runaway. If Ohio State comes out and plays the way they did against Michigan, Tennessee, all of these have the potential of being blowouts. But I think that's what's the mystique of this is we don't know how some of these teams are going to play because they're in a shot to win. And some of these teams, look at Indiana, Penn State, SMU, Tennessee. I don't believe, has Texas made the college football playoff? I don't think they have they?
Last year.
Okay, other than last year. So you're looking outside of Texas, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Those other ones haven't been in. So Arizona State, Boise State, how are they going to handle that? Especially with that's who, when you're talking about matchups, how is a team like Arizona State and Boise State going to handle having this first round bye and you're not fresh off these conference wins going directly into this first round playoff?
Yeah, after watching a little bit of the Boise State game yesterday, and I mean, it was lower scoring than I thought it was going to be. But seeing kind of a little bit of the struggle, if you will, to put points on the board, I mean, I think whoever comes out of that SMU-Penn State game could give Boise a run for their money, just for a matter of can Boise put up the points to keep up?
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, with Rhett Lashley's offense, I mean, SMU can put it on anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Boise State's one-dimensional. It's almost like you watch high school football and you got that triple option team that makes it, runs through their conference, then they go up against an athletic team that can just shut the run down. Well, then you're screwed. Yeah, I think that's going to be Boise State. But then again, Genty is a really good running back. So they'll be tested either or. Penn State or SMU, they're going to be really tested.
Yeah, I was kind of curious, or it kind of made me wonder. I was surprised that they put Indiana and Notre Dame in the game together just for their closeness on, you know, for the distance between the schools and whatnot. I didn't figure we would see, which I know it's difficult at this point to get in-state schools in, you know, a 16-team playoff or 12-team playoff, but it just kind of caught me off guard. I kind of figured they'd throw one of them for a loop.
Yeah, but when you look at it, when you're looking at the namesake, look at Tennessee, Ohio State, that's going to sell itself. Clemson, Texas is going to sell itself when it comes to the name. Now you have Indiana, Notre Dame, SMU. You're not going to put Indiana and Penn State together because of the conference. So you flip that to where, yeah, you have SMU and Penn State. That leaves it. I just think that was a coincidence of what you were left with in the college football playoff. But, yeah, I get your point.
Yeah.
And it's just when you're looking at the format, all the teams and the rankings, you're going to have that one. And outside of the first round, we're going to see more pair. I think it's going to be like a March Madness deal. You might have a first round where SMU beats Penn State and then turns around the following week and just gets blown out. You know, you don't know, but it's going to make for an extra week of football for us. You know, we're not, the thing is, like, I hated with the 14 playoff was you waited a month. Like, that really benefited Alabama because you had Saban, who you give him a month to plan for anybody. It was hard to beat him in the semifinals. That's why Clemson, when they did beat Alabama, both times were in the national championship game because you had a week to prepare opposed to a whole month to prepare. You know, so this is going to be a fun playoff. I keep wanting to say tournament playoff, but, you know, then you move to now. Let's step away from the college football playoff. Those teams, you're starting to see players leaving for the portal. Alabama already had a couple announced. LSU's had some. We're going to see a fall. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if there's going to be a more skeleton team when it comes to when you're going to the bowl game, like, unless I'm just not seeing other teams because we're in Arkansas. But I'm kind of worried on how many players are actually going to be playing for Arkansas when they take on Texas Tech.
Well, I know, you know, Texas Tech is going to, or so far, losing a few. It's one of those things, though. It happens to everybody. I just think that it's more glaring to us because we're here. We see it more. We pay attention to it more. Now, looking at it, I do – obviously, everything's going to start changing tomorrow when the portal officially opens. But, you know, sitting here looking through everything, my biggest question goes to – it's not so much, you know, the skeleton team or, you know, whatever, but it's the fact that we're losing a bunch of starters, or at least – it's hard to say right now because what are their six starters, I think, that have announced already?
Yes.
So, you know, it's tough to say who. I think the issue, bigger issue can be was when those backups start going. Those guys that, okay, this guy was going, so you're going to rely on this guy to go. What's going to happen now? So, I mean, it's one of those things. Both teams, I think they're split. Last year's pot or payout for the Liberty Bowl was $4.7 million split between the teams. So if we'll just call it $5 million, $2.5 million per, I mean, any teams, they're going to send walk-ons out there if they have to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of how invested are your fans going to be at that point.
Yeah.
Well, both teams get their money, so.
Well, yeah, and look, that pays for travel and whatnot, expenses and stuff. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. We come back from the break, we're going to break down more of this bowl game, Liberty Bowl game with Texas Tech. But also, you know, what are the chances of Talen Green playing in this game? And did Barry Odom cost UNLV a conference championship? We'll talk about that after the break.
Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Business today, and let's build something amazing together.
Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Look no further than ATU Ozark Campus. As a two-year satellite campus of Arkansas Tech University, we're dedicated to a quality workforce education, industry partnerships for in-demand jobs, and tailored paths for success. Our programs are led by industry professionals. Whether it's a certificate or you're aiming for a graduate degree, ATU Ozark has you covered. Visit our website at www.atu.edu/Ozark or contact us at 479-667-2117. Your future begins here. Welcome to Ozark Area Chamber of Commerce, where our mission is simple: encourage, promote, and aid an enduring environment of shared economic opportunity and civic development for the Ozark, Arkansas area. Whether you're a local business owner or a resident, we've got something for you. Shop our unique local businesses, explore the beauty of Ozark, and savor local flavors and find cozy accommodations. Join us in building a stronger community. And to learn more, contact us at 479-667-2525. Remember, together we thrive.
And welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. We're talking Liberty Bowl against Texas Tech. We'll take on Memphis. I told you when you texted me that I get that one in the Shreveport Bowl mixed up. But December 27th gets Texas Tech, and it's funny how you want to sit here and do tell the tape and common opponents, but it's really going to be a toss-up because you don't know what team's going to show up, what players are going to show up, and if – I mean, opt-outs and all that stuff. And then coaching changes. We've seen, you know, Dow Loggins went to App State. Barry Odom went from UNLV to Purdue. And when you look at this Texas Tech team that went 8-4, 6-3 in the Big 12, there was that one common opponent where they played Oklahoma State and beat them 56-48 in Stillwater. Granted, it was late November when they played, opposed to Arkansas playing them early in the season, but that's really when it comes to these two teams, that common denominator, which will mean really nothing because we don't know who's going to show up come December 27th.
Correct. And I just pulled it up on my phone as you started talking. I think that the current spread was 2.5 favored in Arkansas. And I'm looking at that. I'm like, we don't even, like you said, we don't even know who's going to play there. I mean, where you're attributing to obviously your regular season statistics, your wins and losses, et cetera. And it's like, we're going to have teams that we don't even recognize out there outside mm-hmm. of some names. So it's like, I think it's going to be a matter of how many guys do you have to step up and how much trust do you have in those guys? Cause like I said last week, you know, I think wide receiver number one, I mean, for that game is going to be what? TJ Brown.
Well, your leading receiver, I think Ruskin and Zach said the leading receiver on the team is Rashad DeBinion, right?
Yeah, I was just looking at wide receivers, not running backs, but yeah. So you've already lost Haz.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're going to have – I'm going to butcher his last name because I always do number Kuda? 81.
Paschke. Yeah.
I butcher it. I apologize. But yeah, you know, I'm looking at it and like, okay, so you've now lost three tight ends for the, you know, talking about Washington Gums now has, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to move fullback Maddox Lassiter to tight end? I mean, he's got the size for it. He's got the hands for it. But what are you going to do between in the next 18 days to figure that out?
Yeah. And kind of what I alluded to was when you look at your O-line, you don't know who's going to block for you. You don't know who you're going to throw to. What are the chances? And because, look, I don't want to hear – and this goes both ways because coaches have done it and players have done it. What are the chances that Talon Green might get an injury or sit out or just choose to not play in this bowl game? What happens then? Because he's projected to come back. This is somebody that has it. Well, I mean, it might change tomorrow. We never know. But what's the chances he doesn't play in this bowl game?
I think if there's any inclination, like if he's coming back, I think he has to play in this game. No ifs, ands, or buts. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things you can't be a leader of the team and sit this one out if you're returning to this team. That's the way I look at it. And I know I kind of joked about in text earlier and like, oh, we'll see what injury happens in the next 1 to 2 weeks. And if something like that did happen, no, I'd never want to see him on the field in a Razorback uniform again.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things you'd be looking at KJ Jackson as your quarterback and who's his backup going to be for the game. I mean, and this is if Malachi, you know, doesn't play. Ledbetter. I mean, the guy
the Bryant kid. Yeah.
So, you know, and if that's the case that we lose out or we lose Taylor, and remember people, this is nothing that is out there. We're just talking
pure speculation. Yes. Pure speculation.
But if that were to happen, I mean, I think come spring, you've got KJ Jackson and then Madden and,
I'm a lady. Yeah,
I haven't got that down pat yet, so I wasn't going to butcher it. So, and Graceville, you'd have quarterback competition, which I still think you should have quarterback competition once you have all these guys. I don't think it should be set in stone that it's Talon's next season if he returns.
Do you think they should wait till after the bowl season to open up the transfer portal and coaching carousel too?
Yes. I think that because there's the second portal that opens in April, I think, because they allow so many days from. I think you could back that one up to not be as far away from the national championship, but I would go with like either immediately after the national championship or maybe a week or so after that you give these guys a chance to enter the portal. I don't know if one of the reasons they do it is maybe these guys are going to transfer at the semester to their new
school. But to me, the biggest thing was when they started doing this opt-out stuff, it was because of, you know, reasons to develop for the draft or whatever, or this, and they were getting paid. You are getting paid now. You're getting some kind of money to play for this team. So as long as the season is going, you're wanting us to give more money to NIL. You're wanting us to get in the stands. You're wanting us to pay more for concessions. You're wanting all of this stuff. All we're asking is play a full season. And if there's stipulations on why, change those stipulations to where you're playing a full season. And then you go in at the start of the semester, because we know school doesn't start right at January 1. Mm-hmm. I think I want to say it starts second week in January. You know, Christmas break for these schools are long. So I know you can do all your little stuff in between when you're done or whatever, get the ball rolling afterwards. But you have an obligation with this team or whatever team you're on to finish the season. And that goes with coaches. And I know I kind of, you know, teased at the fact of Barry Odom, but you're playing for a conference championship. And then the very next day you're linked and going to Purdue. How did, you know, you have to put in your mind, did that have anything to do with the performance and going into this game and potentially cost you an LV? Did it leak out? Did anybody know? You know, does that change the fact of you have these players who played all season for you and then you're going to leave? I'm saying everybody has the right to do things after the season, but these kids have played for you. You turn this program around, and now the day after the conference championship game, you're already going like this. You can't say this wasn't in the works or there wasn't any kind of vetting or interviewing or anything like that. He didn't interview last night at midnight, and then they're like, okay, you got the job.
Oh, yeah, we've seen that across the board in sports. And I think a lot of things in college need to be looked at and held to a similar standard as professional sports when it comes to tampering. Mm-hmm. And I think coaches should be included in that. Like, I get it. They have their agents that can go and run and put the feelers out and talk with and whatnot. I get that. But as many things happen and the timing that they happen in, you know, this stuff is going on during the season. Prime example, I mean, I know it's a crystal ball and nothing's official, but, you know, 2-7 the crystal ball to Ole Miss. For him to already have that and it's out there that may be where he ends up, you can't tell me that there wasn't somebody on the coaching staff that's been in contact with him. And the portal hasn't opened yet. So even though he's announced, he can't be contacted yet.
Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. You know, if he's being crystal balled, mm-hmm. there's been contact made. Plus, I can't remember how long ago was when he made the comments, but it's another one of those situations where, oh man, I don't want my red shirt. You know, I'm Braun. It was either Braun or Kudus, whichever one. I'm getting them kind of flip flopped on the stories, but one was like, well, I'm not going to go, your red shirt me. And then was the whole Ole Miss comment. I hate Ole Miss, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. Then you go to Ole Miss, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, as much as we want to sit here and talk about the coaches, which they deserve everything we're talking about, you got to call a spade and give it back to the players when they're doing the same thing. So until they fix the whole thing, whether it's coaches or players, you're going to keep seeing this. You're going to keep seeing the fact that if coaches are sitting there bouncing out and they got one foot out the door, Kendall Browns, Barry mm-hmm. Odom has one foot out the door. Your head's not in this one of the most important games for your university being UNLV. They're not used to playing in a conference championship like that. You win that, then you automatically get to go to the college football playoff. Where does that leave when it comes to UNLV now? It sucks to say it, but UNLV beats Boise State last night. What happens? What happens to that? Then what happens to the whole thing of you're going to make it to the college football playoff? Well, now you're linked to Purdue. It's almost like the assistant coaches that have made it college football playoff, and then they switch in between that month. They're already at another school coaching in that bowl game.
You know, so looking at Purdue, yes, it's a name. It's historically a name, but it's a team that won one game this season, their first game of the year, got blown out of the majority of them. If you were in Barry Odom's shoes, would you have left UNLV for Purdue?
No. Mm-mm. No, because But then I don't know what the money situation is when it comes to NIL and how much revenue they get. That's a big kicker. But if it's for, I always look at the program. If you could, now, if you know that you have the potential of turning Purdue into the next Michigan or Ohio State, possibly. I just don't see it happening. But then again, look what we're seeing at SMU. Look, we've seen it at Colorado. Look at what we've seen at other schools. You never know with this whole NIL, and you bring some of your guys from UNLV over. That's what happened to Indiana. He brought all these guys from James Madison, and look what happened to them. So anything can happen nowadays. You said it perfectly. It don't take 2, 3, 4 years to rebuild a program anymore, and that's crazy. I never thought that would happen in college football. But if you're looking at both schools, and unless there's just something going on I don't know about, but it's hard when you've built that program in 2 years, turn it around. But was that the peak? You know, there's just so many factors in it, you know. But if I was to really choose between those two, I would say UNLV.
And maybe it truly is just getting to a Power Four conference, and he basically knew that UNLV, like you weren't, like you said, you peaked. You weren't going to go any further than you went outside of if you win the Mountain West.
And you're connected to the Big Ten. So what if there was, I mean, whether it's true or not, what if there were some fillers in there? Hey, look, you know, this is where we're leaning to go with this Big Ten SEC merger. Kind of like OU Texas, you come in and in 2, 3 years, we're going to be a part of this big deal. He's getting an inside head start on a program like Purdue, opposed to coming in 2, 3 years later. It's already started. Now he's building from scratch and he's already behind. He has now a chance to go to Purdue, build a program. And then if something goes to a 16 team playoff, or there is something where they're just tired of how things are going with this 12 team playoff, that we're just going to say, screw it, start our own thing. That's why I said about Arkansas, you had the perfect opportune time to build your program, and you're sticking with what you got while you're watching teams like Indiana. You're watching teams like Colorado. You're watching teams like SMU. You're watching teams like UNLV build up around you, and you're staying stagnant. That's why I think something needs to change, either the culture or the coach, whichever one.
I think with one, you have to change the other.
Well, without saying that being the only reason, without just coming out and saying that, that's kind of what I'm dancing around. But it also comes to the point, we've said it before, if you got to go above the head coach, if your head of your athletic department is not willing to make those changes, whether it be the culture, you bring somebody else in and you have better results. Or if you want to talk about money, find a way. You're a fundraiser. Find ways to get more money in this.
That's one thing I haven't understood is, you know, I guess it's one thing for a head coach to talk against it, not embrace it, like we've seen with Dabo, like we've seen with Saban and some of these other coaches. But in a sense, I get that, because technically, by the rules, they're not supposed to have a hand in the NIL. So
that's what I thought too.
I mean, that's, you know, the way it was all perceived. But then here they are in press conferences talking about NIL. And so that I've never gotten. But I mean, your AD, needs to kind of be either you go hire a collective that can handle it, or you've got to be the biggest salesman for them. And we're not getting either here.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I will admit it, but I mean, this is the only time, so you better record this, me saying this, is this is the only reason why I was upset that Clemson got into the college football playoff, because you have a coach that is not going to embrace the NIL. You're never going to hang with the big dogs that are embracing it. And now he has the excuse. It's on a technicality. Let's just put that out there. I will admit that to anybody. They won the ACC. They got the automatic bid. They were not a top 12 team. But now he gets to say, well, we made the college football play without the portal. You know, it has that stamp on there now that gives him a couple of years, because now he don't have to. He gets to keep things the way he wants to keep it, because the fact that he made the college football playoff without this portal embracement. And they're going to make it, but they're never going to win it. I've said that. And there's so many people, I'm happy they're in it, But do I really like my chances them going to Austin and matching up with that defense? No, because they don't have the players that Texas has, but that's their own fault. I will not use it as an excuse. We have the opportunity to embrace the NIL, change things, but so does Arkansas. Look at Arizona State. Look what they've done.
I mean, their coach basically said, hey, you want money, go transfer.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford it. Now they're first round bye.
I guarantee he has money. I mean, it's just one of the things. You get people, but you have to put up or shut up. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. He's begging for money, and I'm guaranteed somebody said, well, you go win a conference championship, and then we'll see what we can do about that. He goes out and wins. He got in the college football playoff. I guarantee you they're going to get money from it. Now, you're going to have some boosters. Everybody has them. You're going to have somebody feed that monster and start getting them to the point, especially when there's 12 teams. You don't have to sit there and gamble on putting $20 million in a team and then hoping they're one of four teams. You could put $10 million into this team and hope that they're one of the 12, or they can do enough to win their Big 12 conference or whatever conference they're in, aka ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and get in.
If you're Ohio State, and I know a lot of their fans just from seeing their comments today want this, if you're Ohio State and you have a similar performance to as you did with Michigan at any point, whether it's first round or second round, and you just get blown out, do you fire Ryan Day?
No, I hope they keep him because they thought they could buy their way into the college football playoff. They got an even cockier coach than Dabo Swinney. You can't beat Michigan. You know, it's one of those things. You can't go 0-4 against a team like Michigan as much as that rivalry means. Imagine DeBoer or Saban. I'll even put Saban in there. What would happen if Saban went 0-4 against Auburn? If you lost four in a row to your – I mean, we're going to tier these rivalries. Well, I'm looking at Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn, the top two when it comes to how much they hate each other. I think that's the top two rivalries in the country. I know Clemson, South Carolina has a deep hatred, but it's not on the national level as the big game and the Iron Bowl. But if you look at the nostalgia of those teams and what they mean, we're seeing it right now. You know, Ryan Day sitting at, what, two-loss team, making the college football playoffs, but it's all because he can't beat Michigan is why they're wanting to fire him.
Well,
it's true.
I know a lot of – well, no, it is true. Yeah. And I know that there's a lot of folks that in our grand scheme of calling out coaches that we want to come here, you know, I saw Ryan Day's name several times, and I just do. I can't understand that. I mean, I get it that he's won, but at the same time, I'm like, do you want that negativeness? More so, you already have negativeness around your athletic department somewhere. So, would you want to bring that into a guy that's not going to buy in to what your school and what your state's about?
If he can't win a national championship at Ohio State
with $20 million NIL,
he's not going to win in Arkansas. Sorry. Look at Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly is Jimbo Fisher. I've said it many times. I stand on it. If he cannot win a national championship at LSU when Ed Ogeron can, granted he had a great staff around him, if you can't win a national championship, you're supposed to be this elite coach and you're giving elite talent and elite recruiting tool and you're getting portal players, you choke in the big games. You can't do it. So, no.
Well, tomorrow will be a lot of news coming out, I think.
Yes. And I know, again, we took a lot of the hour talking about the – but, you know, it's one of those things when you look at this Texas Tech game – we could sit here and try to break down, but what are we going to talk about? The potential, who's going to be there and predict. It's an unpredictable game.
A week or two before the game, we'll have a better idea of who's actually playing in it. But I think we're going to have to get this next week and a half out of the way before we can truly look at and say who's going to be here.
Yes. And then, you know, the basketball team, UTSA, and again with that, it's, you know, you're looking at a team that, yes, they're talented, but they just got – something has just got to give to where they're not – they're clicking enough to win, but you can't score 20 something points in the 23 in the first half.
25, I think.
25 in the first half against UTSA. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a star-studded team, the highest paid team in the country. And yes, fans, you know, it should be on the fans to show up more, because if this team is so, everybody's wanting to go see them. And I know a lot of it is on the season ticket holders not showing up, but they're part of the fans that I'm talking to. It was 32-27 at the half. You were down 5 at the half to UTSA. Something's got to click. You don't have that many more games, and you have a big game on Tuesday against Michigan.
Who's 7-1 or 8-1, something like that.
And then you have UCA. You have, after the Michigan game, you've got three more little dress rehearsals before you go to Tennessee. So there's not much time.
Well, we saw it against Illinois. What happens when you struggle early and you get down and you can't call your way back? Which I know since then, like, we've still been sporadic when it comes to hitting threes and whatnot, but you can't start a games that slow. The SEC is turning into, it already is, but turning in even more so, one of the biggest monsters in college basketball.
Yeah.
And you cannot afford to have starts to games like that. Like, I get it. Kentucky came back from 16 down against Gonzaga and won. I don't know that this team right now would have that in them.
I'm going to say this, watching Kentucky play, you had Cal leave, and then this whole Kentucky-Arkansas, they better bring their A game or Kentucky's going to run them out of the gym. Plain and simple. They better bring their A game or Kentucky is going to, I hate to bring back old Chad Morris line, but left lane, hammer down. They're going to keep it down. It's either going to go one way. It's going to be a battle to the end, and whoever comes out on top, or Kentucky's just going to run until Arkansas can prove to me they can blow out a team or just out finesse them. They better get ready, because February 1st is coming soon, and you've got some tough games in between. You got at Tennessee, at LSU, at Missouri, OU. Then you have at Kentucky on February 1st. And I'm just pointing out some notable games in between now and then. But from what I'm seeing right now in the slow start, I mean, you went, let me pull up the stats from 3-point, 5 for 15. You shot 15 threes in the game. Slowed it down in the second half. So maybe that's what, you know, shot nine threes in the first half, and then you slowed it down. But I don't know. Something's got to click.
Well, you know, different coaches, different styles and whatnot, but I feel like we've seen this previously with Coach Musselman, the non-conference being kind of sluggish, and then they sometimes have flipped a switch when it came to conference. Yeah. Sometimes yeah. We still have a losing record in conference. So, you know, the SEC, like I said, it's a monster. It's not going to get any easier. I'm not looking forward to that Tennessee game, to be completely honest, because I know a lot of us are looking past to February 1st, but going on the road to Tennessee is your first conference game. They're going to be ready for Cal to come in the building.
Tennessee's always built like a UConn, or they're built like a Baylor. They got those guys inside that they're going to be physical. And when you have a team like you got with Arkansas, shoots a lot of threes, doesn't really like to go to the basket. And, you know, their D's good, but they turn the ball over way too much. I mean, that's another thing that really worries me about this team, is they commit too many turnovers too many turnovers for how they're poor shooting three. They can't afford it, is what I'm trying to say. If you're turning the ball over that much, you can't afford to shoot 5 for 15 from 3-point line. You have to pick it up. And that's what worries me about this team. If they're having an off night shooting and they're committing these turnovers, that's double the possessions that you're giving a team, because now they're out rebounding you, or they're rebounding them all, and you're turning it over and they're scoring, going on a run. So hopefully they're just playing, you know, possum right now. They're sandbagging, waiting for conference season, and they're going to blow the doors off, but you just never know.
You never know. And I mean, I know, especially when you're going to these games like we've played, you know, playing Baylor, playing Illinois in the exhibition, playing TCU. Now we've got Michigan next. I mean, you'd want more of a showing on these national stages. And especially, it's kind of, you don't get much bigger than Madison Square Garden for the Jimmy V Classic.
Yeah. And you, Duke Vitale, you know, I don't know if he's going to be on the call, but you know, it's just one of those things. This is big stage, more pressure. This is pressure that you put on yourselves because you brought in Cal, you brought in this star studded roster. So it's time to start turning the page, because you can't then go into the Tennessee game and then expect to turn on the gas. You got to let this thing warm up a little bit, but we'll talk more about that on Thursday. Of course, game Tuesday, that will be at 8 o'clock on ESPN, the Jimmy V Classic, and then they don't have a game until Saturday the 14th. So when we come back to you on Thursday, we'll talk about that, and then stay tuned for more news when it comes to portal. I will say that, just to be warned, you're going to see a lot of official portal news that's already been released. So if somebody comes out, it's just their official entering the portal, mm-hmm. making everything official. So,
because everything right now is plans to enter. Yes. Nothing is done until tomorrow.
So that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to get flooded. You're probably going to see a lot of names that you've already seen. And be respectful to the media guys, the Hogbeat guys, the Rivals guys, because they're just doing their job. Now it's official. Don't come back with the smart ass comments about, well, we seen that last week. Be respectful to them for doing their job, because that's all they're doing. And when it comes like this, they're just trying to get stuff out there for us to see. So stay tuned for that. Adam will be back at 8 o'clock for Hog HQ Live. So for more recruiting news, more talk about Texas Tech, more talk about the CFP without the Clemson influence in it, I'm sure they'll be welcome with that. But we'll talk to y'all more on Thursday. But again, come right back at 8 o'clock to see Adam and the guys. It'll be a great show. We'll talk to you on Thursday.